While the children are getting settled, why don't we open up our Bibles? The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 John, not John, but 1 John chapter 4. And in your pew Bibles, it can be found on page 241. This Advent season, Pastor Stephen has been preaching to us about words that can be found in Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, again and again and again. Those words are, do not fear, be not afraid. In this particular reading this morning from 1 John, the author is writing to a community that we believe was probably under persecution at that time. And so these kind of words hold a real depth to them. Do not be afraid in times of persecution. So we're going to start at chapter 4, verse 13, and we'll read through 21. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from this him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? We give you thanks, God, for the gift of your word, for it is the truth. And in this season, when we pause to reflect on the miracle and the mystery of the Word made flesh, we know that it is through these words that the Word is revealed to us. And so speak to our hearts this morning, God, that we would come to know Jesus better, in whose name we pray. Amen. As Liz mentioned, I've been talking about fear in this Advent season, but more specifically, to not be afraid, to fear not, because that is the most common commandment that we find in all of Scripture. Over 100 times in all different places, God says, fear not, do not be afraid. And yet the reality is we all live in fear of different kinds. And so dealing with fear is one of the most important parts of our lives, and certainly one of the most important parts of our spiritual lives. Judy Blume, a renowned children's author from Elizabeth, New Jersey, she said, "Each of us must confront our own fears, must come face to face with them. How we handle our fears will determine where we go with the rest of our lives." How we handle our fears will determine where we go with the rest of our lives. And so learning to confront fear and how do we deal with a fear when we have that is essential for our spiritual lives and for how we live all of our lives. The reality is that we all live in some kind of fear. There's something that is either right at the surface or lurking just beneath that gives us anxiety, that keeps us up at night, that makes us not want to try things. And one of the things that we looked at last night is when we allow ourselves to be controlled or manipulated by our fears, we miss out on so much of what God has for us. It's overcoming fear that allows us to step into the future that God has planned for us. When we allow our fears to manipulate us or restrict us or paralyze us, we often miss out on the very thing that God is sending us to do, where we discover who we are and who God is. So learning how to deal with fear, to look at it and to confront it, is absolutely essential in order for us to become the people that God wants us to be. Often people will say that the opposite of faith is doubt. That having doubts or questions is sort of the antithesis of faith. But I don't think that's true. I believe that doubt is actually part and parcel of faith, that it's often our doubts and questions that lead us to deeper places of faith. It moves us from a Sunday school faith to an adult faith when we start to have questions and doubts. No, doubt is not the opposite of faith, but I believe that fear is the opposite of faith. Where fear exists, we don't have a sense of the presence of God. Scripture tells us, and this scripture in particular, that God is love. And what scientists have discovered is that fear and love are the two primal emotions, and they cannot exist at the same time. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a famous psychiatrist, said, "Deep down at our cores, there are only two emotions, love and fear. All positive emotions come from love, and all negative emotions from fear. From love flows happiness, contentment, peace, and joy. From fear comes anger, hate, anxiety, and guilt." But it's more accurate to say that there is only love or fear. For we cannot feel these two emotions together at exactly the same time. They're opposites. If we're in fear, we're not in a place of love. And when we're in a place of love, we cannot be in a place of fear. Now, this is a modern psychiatrist writing, but we know this to be true from the text that we just heard. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. The first step in dealing and confronting with fear is recognizing the incredible love that God has showered upon us, and that God is love. The author of 1 John was aware that there were some people that were living in fear of God, or at least in fear of God's judgment. He says, if you're afraid of God, if you're afraid of God is going to punish you for something you've done, you don't understand God. Because God is love. God's entry into the world has come to take away the guilt, to take away the anxiety, the worry, and the fear. When you begin to experience God's Spirit moving in your life, there simply isn't room for fear. Because perfect love casts out fear, and God is perfect love. John Calvin says, "For when the love of God is properly known, it calms the mind." The love of God calms the mind. Friend, the first step that you and I must take in dealing with the fear that we have in our lives is to come to know the surpassing power of God's love and to trust in that completely. It calms our mind. When God's love begins to flow into us, the fear begins to run. It's like turning on a light in a dark room. The darkness simply flees. And the more that you and I focus on God's love, the more we spend time immersed in the reality and the truth of who God is, the fears and anxieties that are trying to get us and take us aside or hold us back simply begin to disappear. You know, times when I have been at my lowest, times when I've found myself unable to sleep or having a difficult time, it is those times that I bring into my mind the things that fill me with joy and love. And it is extraordinary how that changes things. I begin to think about my marriage. I begin to think about my children. I begin to think about the things that are just, you know, bringing me life. And it's almost as I bring those feelings of love, that thought that God has just selected me and called me to do the thing. It's just almost like those things just begin to fall away and I'm able to fall into a deep sleep. The fear simply subsides in the face of love. So the first step, the antidote to fear, is love, God's love, and then the love that we have. And you know, when that love begins to come into us as we respond and we react in appropriate ways to fear, instead of responding with other hateful things, revenge and anger, we begin to respond even to the most unlovable people, the most difficult things that have just stirred us up, we begin to respond with love. Or as it's often said, we kill them with kindness. We kill them with kindness. Rather than responding with anger and hate and escalating the problem that's making us fearful, we simply diffuse it because we respond with love to our fears. You know, the second thing that we have to do, though, and for some of us, it's really even the first thing, is to name our fears. Some people don't even know what they're afraid of. That fear is sort of underneath the surface. It's something that maybe has been there for a long time. There are some people, they know what they're afraid of, but they don't want to really look at it. You know, there's some people who know there's something wrong with their body, but they don't want to find out what it is, so they don't go to the doctor. And so they live in this state of constant, like, I don't feel well, and I'm not really sure, but I don't like the doctor, he might give me a shot, or I mean, you know, something. And, you know, they just don't want to, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to look at it in the face. But friends, we've got to name our fears if we're going to master them. You have to know what you're afraid of and put a name to it. Is it rejection? You're terrified that you won't get the job, that you'll get that rejection slip, or he won't say yes, or she won't say yes to the invitation to go on a date, or whatever it is. You know, we're afraid of rejection. Are you afraid of failing? Are you afraid of looking foolish? Are you afraid of something that happened many years ago that you just are afraid, you know, that emotion might happen again? Whatever it is, you have to look at it. Do you remember the story of Rumpelstiltskin, the fairy tale of Rumpelstiltskin? Yeah, is that is kind of it's something about straw and spinning it into gold, and so there's other parts of it, but I don't want to deal with that part of it. The end part of it, this little troll, this scary little guy, had the princess over a barrel because he said, "If I do this for you, you have to give me your baby when your baby's born." And the princess is like, "Oh, sure, whatever," and he does a favor. Now she's in debt to this little troll, scary guy. And he comes to collect his debt to get the baby. And she says, "No, it's my baby. I can't." He goes, "I'll give you one chance to get out of this thing. If you tell me what my name is." It's coming back to you now, right? "Tell me." And she's like, "Harry, you know, Enoch." And she's guessing like every guy's name she can think of. He goes, "I'll give you 3 days." And she's, you know, Charlie, whatever. She's coming up with all the names. She can't think of it. And, you know, then she sends out one of her servants, and the little guy's out in the woods running around. He's like, "Rumpelstiltskin is my name. Stealing babies is my game." I don't know if that's what he was saying, but he was saying something. Anyway, the guy gets his name, and he runs back, and he tells the princess. And then he shows up for the third day to collect his you know, baby prize. And she's like, all right, you know, your name is Pastor Stephen. No, it's not that. Rumpelstiltskin. Ah! And the guy runs away. It's a long fairy tale story, but it has an extraordinarily insightful point. Once she knew his name, she was able to master him. We have to name our fear. What are you afraid of? What is it that keeps you awake? What is it that's holding you back? Who is it? We have to name it, knowing that having claimed the love of God in our heart, whatever that thing is will simply not measure up. But we have to know what it is, and we have to be able to deal with it. And that brings us to the third and final step. We have to confront it or them. Confronting our fear, looking that problem in the eye, going to that difficult person and having that difficult conversation, speaking the truth in love, is extraordinarily important. So often, because we're afraid, we avoid and we run away from. And it never goes away, and it doesn't get better on its own. And there comes that point when God finally gets us to name it and go and say, I am no longer going to be controlled by you. Whether it's something in our past or something in our present, a person in our life, a problem that we had, we look it in the eye. And extraordinarily, we find how powerful our God is when we finally get up the courage to confront our fears. Eleanor Roosevelt says, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. It is amazing what happens when we finally get up our courage and that whatever that fearful thing is, whoever that fearful person is, that bully, that problem, that debt, that broken heart, that broken relationship, that difficult person, that troubled child, whatever that thing that's just eating us up inside, we finally go and say, I'm not going to be mastered by this. I am under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Lord of love, and I am going to have this conversation. I'm going to take this on. And amazingly, so often our problem, our fear, simply dissipates in the face of that kind of courage. But we have to finally do it. I don't know what God may be prompting in your heart right now, but I know there are people here who are dealing with very scary things. And I believe that God is saying to you, it's time to deal with this. And you will become so powerful, so strong, so confident. Even if the thing, whatever it is, doesn't work out the way you want it to, even if it doesn't just sort of disappear or go away, just getting up the courage to do that thing, you will discover the awesome truth that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, and the name of perfect love is Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much for coming to take away the fear and for whatever fearful things there are among us here today, God, people dealing with very serious, serious problems, health problems, family problems, financial problems, God, give them the courage today to not shirk or turn away, but to stand up boldly and to confront those fears, knowing that you are the light that will disperse the darkness of the fear. Your love is so extraordinary and so powerful, God. You'll give us the words we need at the time that we need them. You'll give us a strategy to take another step ahead. God, I just pray for my friends here today who are feeling defeated. Remind them that they are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us and gave his life for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.